Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on this laborious Labor Day.
Amen. Amen. We've already been praying.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be praying during the day.
All day.
For 27 years, we've prayed on Labor Day.
That's right.
For people to get jobs, better jobs.
That's right.
Increase in salary and promotions, raises, benefits.
We've had
and
a
for those who are self-employed, for them to get increased sales. And
that's right.
For just all that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
27 years we've been doing it. We're going to do it today, too.
And we've had a marvelous
response. We
I'm
really
so
have.
Blessed.
If you would like to be a part of our Labor Day prayer,
that's right.
Go to heraldhearing.com/Labor Day, written together, Labor Day. Fill out the form with the information we need to pray specifically for you, and we'll be lifting you up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And believing with you for breakthroughs
and the
and
Lord
victories.
To do exploits.
Amen.
Amen.
On today's program, we're going to talk about seven locations on God's roadmap to your destiny.
Wow, I like it.
God's direction to your destination is sevenfold. If you ever need a map of a local city, make sure you stop by the local Chamber of Commerce office. The maps are generally free and most helpful in plotting your pilgrimage around most cities. I'm not sure if heaven has a chamber of commerce. In fact, I rather doubt it. But nevertheless, God has provided each of us with a roadmap with specific directions on how to reach our destinations, the fulfillment of his divine purpose for our lives. You follow the map, you'll be able to do that. Here are the seven locations on God's roadmap to our destiny.
Amen. Number one, vision. On any journey, you begin with a destination in mind, unless you're, well, maybe Forrest Gump, who ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. But a pilot is not going to get into his jet and leave that runway without knowing his exact destination and it being programmed into his online computer. Even if you were to head on a vacation with no particular location in mind, you still have somewhat of a destination, home. That's right. After you've done your geographically exploring and limp, you know, to your ultimate destination is going to be, let's go home.
That's it.
You know, on trips and in life, if you don't have a vision for where you're going, you're never going to get there. In Harold's book, Spiritual Entrepreneur, a 21-day information system for success, you'll see that where day one is entitled Seven Keys to Establishing Your Vision for the Year. Every time I edit one of his books, as he says, I always make them better.
You do.
But the point is, I always think that's my favorite book, you know, each time. But anyway, if you don't own this powerful information system, you can go to heraldhearing.com today and order it. It's really
my
beneficial.
Favorite book that I've written.
Really?
Yep.
I don't even know if I have a favorite. Anyway, we're not going to go into the teaching, but we want to share with you the seven keys that are discussed. First, and this is important, how do you see yourself? Second, your vision of yourself must be specific. Third, you must write down your vision. Fourth, you must fully realize that God will help you win each battle the devil brings out against you, against the fulfillment of your vision. And fifth, you must do it now, today. You can't put it off. Sixth, regularly review your progress in the manifestation of God's given focus for your life. And seventh, keep a journal or a Word document on your progress. And as the scripture says, and write your vision and make it plain.
Love that verse, that scripture in Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, faith. Faith is the fuel that keeps us traveling through all sorts of rocky, dangerous terrain and all sorts of weather conditions. First, let's talk about what faith is not. Faith is not a denomination. Faith is not something on your resume. faith is not invisible. Most people think faith is invisible, but it isn't.
We preach about it all the time.
And we're going to show you that from the scripture. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Please notice the thing hoped for is invisible, but faith is the evidence that makes it real. There's no such thing as invisible evidence. If you go into a courtroom, you just can't go into a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for is invisible. If you have faith for a new house, the new house might be invisible right now, but your faith won't be invisible. If the faith is invisible, the house is not going to show up either. We're fighting the good fight of that which is visible.
That's right.
How do you make that which is seemingly invisible visible? You got to do it in the spirit.
That's right. With your imagination.
That's
number three, planning. Prior proper planning precipitates positive progress and performance, preventing possible problems and predicaments. You know, we need to point out that prior proper planning will prevent you from living in the tyranny of the urgent. Prior proper planning will prevent mistakes and that, you know, having to say, whoops.
I forgot that.
There you go. Procrastination is the enemy of planning because it causes you to delay decisions and actions until another time. Genesis 24:33, Darby translation says, and there was set meat before him, Abraham's servant, to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have made known my business. Eleazar, Abraham's servant, was a man with a plan, and he was working his plan. And that's great advice for each of us.
Yes, it is.
He was on a quest, and he wanted to get his quest behind him. We've often quoted Alan Larkin, the noted time management expert, who said, planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now.
Wow.
That's a great quote.
It is.
So what is your plan for each new day? Is your plan, you know, to just simply let things happen or make things happen? You know, this is the bottom line. Only you control your day. It's clear from Scripture that God wants us to take charge of every day that he's given us, mostly putting it in his hands and listening to his voice and doing what he says. But we need to make the most of it and make it count. Contemporary English version of that verse 12 says, teach us wisely, to use wisely all the time we have.
Great scripture. Number four, action. Ezra 10:4, God's Word translation. Get up. It's your duty to take action. We're with you. So be strong and take action. God didn't create or call us to be spiritual couch potatoes. He called us to be doers of the word. God is looking for people who are full of fire and the Holy Ghost. God's looking for people who will get up off, well, what's been holding them back and actively pursue the vision that he's given them. James 2:20, Classic Amplified. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow? That faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless. Our faith is what will prompt us to a new level of kingdom action. See, God knows what we think. Hears what we say, and yes, God even sees what we do. Proverbs 5:21, God's Word translation. Each person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all their actions.
Think of that.
Yes, he's watching what we do.
Number five, confession. You know, we preach this a lot, but you need to confess the scriptures, personalize them, put your name in there every day. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. First, you need to personalize this verse, and I mean personalize it. then which you can confess throughout the day. For the Lord God is a sun and shield to Lawrence. The Lord will give Lawrence grace and glory. No good thing will God withhold from Lawrence who walks uprightly.
That's good.
And second, you need to create a confession that you can use every morning and then throughout the day. Like, Heavenly Father, I thank you that good things are coming into my life today. My debts are being supernaturally canceled. Thank you, Jesus. And eliminated, and that is a good thing.
Yes.
Being recognized for my labors is a good thing. Walking in divine health, Lord, is a good thing. Having our children, and then you need to name them all. Serving you, I don't care if they are or not right now. Name them. Having my children serve you is a good thing. Lord, I want to praise you because I serve you with all my heart today. I have the confidence in knowing that there's not one good thing you will withhold from me. Hallelujah. You know, it's important that we make that confession fit ourselves and what we're facing in our life situation. What do we need to overcome? Pray the word.
And we do it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. 6, persistence. What does the word of God say about persistence? Revelation 2:2, Message Bible. I see what you've done. Your hard work. In fact, scripture says, your hard work. Your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage in my cause, that you never wear out.
Wow.
This is the message that the angel of the church of Ephesus was to take to them. See, that's the way I want to be remembered. That by hard work and fulfilling the vision God has given me to get the body of Christ out of death, by refusal to give up until every believer is walking in financial freedom, a commitment to help every believer become a rich thinker.
Mm.
One final thought. Our victory may be just around the bend or over the next hill, so persist until you reach your destiny.
7, fulfillment. How do we find fulfillment in God's roadmap to our destiny? Well, let's look at the way King David found fulfillment. First, we need an insatiable desire for God.
Yes.
Psalm 63:1, Classic Amplified says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where no water is." Second, we need to covet a personal relationship with him. In Psalm 63:4, Classic Amplified, it says, "I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer." Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8 in the New Living Translation says, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me." And third, fulfillment in life as we pursue our destiny. Psalm 63:3, Classic Amplified. Psalm 63:3 says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." And finally, Psalm 63:5, Living Bible. "At last I shall be fully satisfied. I will praise you with great joy." So point is, on our journey, we need to realize that real peace and lasting fulfillment comes from our personal relationship with the one who created us for a purpose and a destiny.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
That's good stuff.
It is.
Make sure you go to haroldherring.com/Labor Day and fill out and give us information. We need to pray specifically for you. We're going to lift you up before the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.